Imagine the creator of the universe, the all-powerful, the almighty God, comes and sits down next to you and asks you for a cup of water, and he just wants to get to know you. As it turns out, Jesus already knows you, but you get to know him, and your world changes. You have hope for the first time. You no longer feel so alone. That's exactly what the Samaritan woman experienced more than 2,000 years ago. What she thought for her was just another trip to the well turned out to be a life-changing experience. And that story is recorded for us in the Gospel of John, John chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. We're going to read part of that story together this morning, and then we're going to look at it. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. But Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of living water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." We're going to stop there for now. We're going to pick up this story as it continues in the next little bit. But let's look at what's happening here. Before these verses, the earlier verses tell us that Jesus was traveling with his disciples and they had to travel through Samaria. And as they're traveling through Samaria, Jesus comes around noon and he ends up at this well, a well-known well just outside of the town. And Jesus is tired and he sits for rest and he sends his disciples into the town to buy some food to refresh them. And the Bible tells us around noon, a woman comes to draw water. Now, this is not the customary time in that day and age for the women to come to the well for water. They would traditionally come earlier in the morning. They would come before the heat of the day. They would come before the sun would be too hot, and they would probably draw water that would last them most of the day. But this woman doesn't come when all the other women from the town come. She comes when there's nobody expected at the well. And when she gets there, suddenly she finds Jesus there. And Jesus looks at her and he says, "Would you please give me a drink of water?" Now, this is unusual for two very main reasons. Number one, it was improper in that day and age for a man, especially one, a rabbi, a teacher like Jesus, to speak to a woman in public by themselves who is not a family member. And so that's the first place that makes it unusual. And secondly, Jesus is a Jew. This woman is a Samaritan. And the Jews and the Samaritans did not mix well together. In fact, there was a lot of racial divide between them. The Samaritans were thought of by the Jewish people as half-breeds. And that's because they were half-Jewish and half-Gentile. And they were not able to trace their genealogy to prove themselves as pure Jewish. And so the Jewish people had a way of looking down upon the Samaritans, and they did not mix well. And so Jesus, the Jew, is asking the Samaritan woman for a drink of water, which was unheard of in that time. And so there was this prejudice between them. But by Jesus speaking to her, by Jesus asking for her assistance, by Jesus asking her to give him a drink of water, Jesus gave her acceptance. Jesus began his encounter with this woman by meeting her need for acceptance. He talks to her when other men would have avoided her. He talks to her when the other Jews would have avoided her. He talks to her even though he knows the secrets of her life, which made her feel extremely shameful in her society. Her question is, how can you ask me for a drink of water? Don't you know that your people and my people don't associate? But again, we read in verse 13 these words Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, and whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, this water I give them will become in them a spring of living water welling up into eternal life. See, Jesus offers her water that will quench her spiritual thirst. It satisfies the first thirst for the things that she had been longing for. She's looking for acceptance, for love, for peace. Jesus offers her that through this living water. He offers her the only thing that will meet her deepest longings. Even if she does not fully comprehend what Jesus is saying to her at that very moment, Jesus is offering her hope. Verse 16 goes on to tell us more of the story. He told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Jesus showed this woman that he knows her life. And Jesus accepts her regardless of where she has come from. This woman has already had three strikes against her. She was a woman in that day, in that culture. I'm not saying anything about women today. I'm talking about in that day, in that culture, women were lower than men. So her first strike is she's a woman. Her second strike is she's a Samaritan. And in the Jewish-Samaritan relationship, that's given her another strike. And her third strike is she's had numerous husbands. She's had five husbands, and now she's living with a man who's not even her husband. And so that's brought her shame. That's considered her very immoral in her day and time. But Jesus accepts her with all her humanity and with all of her failures. Jesus doesn't start by judging her. Even though people in the world have judged her, Jesus doesn't judge her. Jesus begins to accept her as a person. Jesus knows everything about you. Those things that you feel ashamed for. Those things that make you hide away from the world. Those things in your past that you would rather forget. Those things in your past. When sometimes in the darkness of the night as you lay on your bed and you think back and you go, if only I could go back. If only I could go back and redo that. If only I could go back and erase that moment of my life. Those things that we all hide as shameful. Those things that are our regrets. Those things that we wish we could redo. Jesus knows them. Jesus knows everything about you, and Jesus accepts you. The beautiful thing is that when Jesus accepts you, he accepts you as you are, but his desire is to make you a better version of yourself. His desire is that he wants to remove any shame that you might feel. He wants to make you live in a better place. This is what Jesus is doing for this woman. He wants to offer her hope in place of her loneliness and her hurt. The story continues in verse 19. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. See, one of the arguments that went on in that time between Jews and Samaritans was the debate over the proper place of worship. The Samaritans had set up their own place of worship on Mount Gerizim because the Jews didn't like like them coming to the temple in Jerusalem. And so they set up their own place of worship. And when they did that, the Jews said, well, you can't do that. That's not proper. And so they were really between a rock and a hard place. You don't want me to come to Jerusalem and use your temple, but you don't like me setting up our own place. And for that reason, this debate of places of worship between Jews and Samaritans had always been rehearsed and repracticed and redebated. And this woman asks a question that's in that same vein. Jesus gives her attention. He spoke to her with dignity and with care. He allows her to ask her question. See, it was uncommon for women to debate theology, but Jesus gives her the attention and allows her to do it. Jesus steps over the barrier between Jews and Samaritans. He steps over the barrier of men and women. He addresses this woman's hurt by speaking directly to her, not passing judgment on her because of the way she lived or where she worshiped. See, Jesus sees you worthy of his attention. Jesus wants you to know that he cares about you. Jesus has no desire to judge you into condemnation, but he loves you enough to see your life changed for good, to see you move from death to life, from hopelessness to hope. And he engaged this woman in this debate of theology that was not commonly done in that culture. But in all honesty, Jesus doesn't really debate her. Jesus isn't interested in her debate. He's interested in her life. And Jesus responds to her question with his answer in verse 23. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. By answering her this way, Jesus gave her respect, revealing that he valued her as one of God's beloved. Even though Jesus revealed he had knowledge of her sin in her life, he knew that she already had five husbands and the one she lived with wasn't hers. Even though Jesus knew that, even though Jesus let her know that he knew that and she understood that, she did not feel judgment from Jesus. Instead, Jesus offers her the living water, the life of God, placed inside of her that removes her sin and removes her loneliness and replaces it with hope in God. Jesus offers you living water today. He knows all about your life. He knows all the things that you might be trying to hide away from others. But Jesus does not condemn you. Jesus is offering you living water. He's offering you the life of God. Jesus wants to come into your life and remove your sin and remove your shame. Verse 25 continues our story. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I am the one speaking to you. I am he. I am he. The woman believed that one day a Messiah will come. She believes everything the prophets had said in the past. She believes in the scriptures that she reads and has been taught. She believes in faith that there is going to be a day when a Messiah will come and will reveal everything and change everything and help them understand everything. She has enough faith to believe that one day a Messiah has come, will come. But she doesn't have the faith to believe yet that Messiah is here. And Jesus says to her, I am he. Jesus declares, I am the one that you have been waiting for. I am the one that you have been hoping for. I am the one that was promised. I am the one who you have been long awaiting. Jesus is the promise. Jesus is the hope. Where have you been placing your hope today? So many times we place our hope in the wrong things. Our family, our friends, our jobs, our bank account, ourselves. Where have you been placing your hope? Jesus comes and he reminds us that he alone is our hope. The wonderful thing is that Jesus has come. The promise has been delivered. God has promised that he would never leave us or forsake us, that he would always be present with us. Our hope is not in people or things. Our hope is in Jesus. I believe that Jesus knew that he had a divine appointment that day. I believe that's why he said they had to travel through Samaria. I believe that's why he stopped at that well. He knew that this woman would show up around you. He sent the disciples off to town to get food. First, they needed food. And secondly, he needed an opportunity to speak into the life of this woman. Like I said, it's unusual for somebody to come to the well at noon. And as Jesus sat there resting and thirsty, along comes this woman, a solitary, lonely woman. She come at noon for her water for that day. She probably had the habit of coming at noon. She came when she knew or expected nobody to be at the well. The woman had come earlier in the morning. Maybe she was avoiding the woman. Maybe the woman would ridicule her. Maybe they looked at her funny. Maybe she felt uncomfortable in their presence. Maybe she just felt uncomfortable around people in general. She felt the shame and the guilt of her past. And as she comes to the well that day at noon, to her utter amazement, there sits this man, a Jew, a rabbi. And he says to her, "Give me a drink of water." In the middle of her suffering and her own loneliness, Jesus initiates a conversation with her. While others had not welcomed this woman, this stranger, this man named Jesus, welcomes her. Jesus' simple request for a drink of water showed that he valued her, accepted her, and respected her as a person. The way he received her began to connect at her point of hopelessness and suffering. Jesus reveals himself as the promised hope. "I am he." The one that she had been hoping for, the one that they had been longing for, had shown up to rescue her from the pain of her loneliness and her hurt. If you would go on to read a few verses past the end of the story where we stopped today, you'll find out that she accepts the living water that Jesus offers her. She runs to town, she tells others, and many in the town came to believe in Jesus, their hope, and their Messiah. She exchanged her pain, her loneliness, and her suffering for the hope of Jesus. The exchange Jesus had with the woman at the well is the same exchange that Jesus wants to have with you today. If you are hurt or needy, if you're lonely or suffering, Jesus is offering you a relationship with him that will remove your loneliness. Jesus offers you a relationship that removes your guilt and your shame. Jesus offers you forgiveness for your sins. Jesus is the hope that you need today. Are you willing to accept it? Are you listening to me this morning and you're saying, "I need that hope in my life"? As you listen to the story of this woman, you kind of identify her. You kind of say, I know what that's like. I know what it is to walk in shame. I know what it is to be hurt. I know what it is to be lonely. I want you to know this morning that the same Jesus who offers hope to that woman at the well is the same Jesus who is offering you hope today. All you have to do is say, "Jesus, I want that living water. Jesus, I accept the hope that you're willing to give me. Jesus, would you come into my life and remove the shame and the sin? Would you forgive me?" If you're connecting with that, if that's speaking to who you are and where you're at today, I want you to know that Jesus sees you today. And he's offering you the hope and the living water. All you have to do is receive it. I'm going to lead in a very simple, very short prayer. And if you want that hope, if you want that forgiveness, in your mind, in your heart, if you're, you know, sitting with a few people and you feel uncomfortable, you can pray it just in your mind, in your head this morning, and just follow me in this prayer. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for being my hope. And I want your hope in my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to give me your living water. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you want that hope, you want that forgiveness of sins, I want you to let me know. And I think we've made it fairly simple for you. You can text the word love. That's because Jesus loves you. You can text the word love to our number. It's 416-267-1189. Again, text love, L-O-V-E, to 416-267-1189. It's going to ask you for a number of questions, your name and how we can contact you. Please follow the prompts and then we will be in touch with you and we will help you know more about living in the hope that Jesus has for you today. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you that we have the opportunity as a church to gather online. We thank you for your word, which is always true. We thank you for your hope, which has been given to us as living water. Lord, be with us the rest of this week. Watch over us. Keep us safe. Allow us to draw closer to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.